welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today's guest has made change, impacted lives, and given those disabled or living with terminal illness hope. He's given people a purpose to live and is driving transformative and inclusive fitness for all. Mm-hmm. It's the founder of the J7 Community Health Centre, Jovino McLean.
That's an intro. That's a good intro.
Jovino, when I think of you, instantaneously, I think warmth, energy, but also the word empowering comes to mind.
You know what? That's the biggest compliment people could give me, honest to God. And I think that's what my work is. There's so many layers to it, but empowerment, I think, is the key for it, Ames. I love empowering people. I think the world needs it. Do you know what I mean?
Where do you get that energy from to give? Because it obviously started somewhere. You used to be an athlete yourself.
Yeah. I was a cricketer. But you know what? People ask me about my energy, right? And I'll be honest with you, I could say some really cool answer now. I just think I'm a bit mad. I think I'm just a bit nuts. I'm just being purely naked with it. I come from love, man. My family and my, I've got my mum and dad, they're sick. I've come from a household. I've been around love my entire life.
Talk to me about that kind of luck, because not everyone has been lucky enough to experience that.
You see what
that.
I'm saying? Exactly. And I think that if you're from love and I've been raised around love, it just gives you the strength to be who you want to be every single day without fear. So with me, I don't care how I look, how I sound, because I've been raised to just be unapologetically me every single day. And I think that's the message that I like to portray to people as well. You get some Muppets who say certain things. Everything that most people say about me online is 99% of really positive, wonderful things. But you might get one silly person that says something daft about, oh, mate, oh, look, he's got no socks on, he's got no shoes on, or something silly about aesthetically how the way I might look, because obviously, if you see my content, I'm just natural. I'm just really quite scruffy, to be honest.
You dressed up for me today.
That's because of you, because we're walking around London, aren't we?
Everything's matching.
Yeah, I mean,
what
I didn't.
What are you doing, Jovino? That wasn't part of the
plan. That wasn't part of the plan. But I just think, yeah, man, if you come from an environment of love, it forces you to be unapologetically yourself, and I think that's the best thing you can be.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about J7. Mm. Where did the brains of this idea come from?
I love telling this story. Sorry, I keep nudging into you.
That's all right.
This is the quickest I've ever walked.
We can be close, because it's
calm. This is the quickest walk I've ever done. But probably 20 years ago now, my mum's kitchen in North Manchester, I've written down on a piece of paper a place that I wanted to create that was, like we said before, I believe in energy. I believe in it, I swear. People say it, but I genuinely believe that most things that have happened to me in my life, it's because of the energy that I put out there, and I think it feeds back to me. And I wanted a place where I hated gyms. Even though I'm a gym guy and I'm an athlete, I hated what gyms represented. The way gyms can be some of the loneliest places in the world, especially for women and people that are a bit new to exercise, can be very intimidating. So I used to go into gyms and I felt sometimes intimidated, like people were watching me. So I wanted to create a place where the energy and the vibe was contagious, where I can be in there with my mama, my pops over there, grandma, auntie, your mum, your cat, your dog, that woman's cat, dog, hamster, and everyone can be just all in there chilling, doing their own thing in their own lane, whether it's an athlete, whether it's somebody new to exercise, whether it's somebody in a wheelchair, but everyone's vibing in the same room. Rather than you being upstairs, me being downstairs, and I don't see Amy. I want to walk past and go, yo, Ames, you good? And you go, yes, Jim, good. How's your dog? How's your cat? Let's hug. Let's do some burpees. And we're all together. You see what I'm saying? And I wanted a place where the energy and vibe was all on one level. So that's what I created in my mum's kitchen on a piece of paper. And when my little boy Mason's 10, but when he was about 1.5, 2, I had to gamble. It was a big risk, man. And a lot of my family members were a bit uncertain about it because I was in a good paid job, doing similar to what I'm doing now for the council. And I wanted it to be mine. I said, you know what? I'm gonna take the leap of faith and open my own business. And I knew it would work because I knew that my passion for this is quite scary. Like, I can't explain in words, but my passion and my enthusiasm for what I've got. I used to say to people 20 years ago, once people understand who I am and what I want to do, I will change the world in my own way. And at the time, 20 years ago, it was quite cocky and braggadocious, and people didn't get it. And I used to say to people, I used to beg to people, kind of plead, like, listen, I'm not being cocky. I'm not saying that I'm the savior. But I said that I truly believe that what I do, there's nobody in the world that can do it like me.
Okay, now tell, for those that maybe don't know, what you do at J7. You have broken boundaries and you continue to do so.
I hate answering this question, you know, because I don't ever want to feel like I'm being boastful or anything. I generally believe in normality. I think normality is the most special thing, treating people normal. To treat people normal ain't no strategy, ain't no thought process. It's easy. It's natural, it's organic, it's just, it's human.
But so, that's the energy, right? That's the energy you give off. Not everybody has that. Not everybody has that gift to see everyone and treat everyone as normal.
Trust me, and at my place, all I want to do is make people feel seen. We come from a world, you're an athlete, two-time Olympian, come on.
I'm an athlete.
And we come from a world where we're used to being seen and celebrated.
Yeah.
And I think some people, unfortunately, have not been given the greatest cards in life. They don't moan, they don't complain. I just want you to feel seen. I want you to feel human. I want all the great magical things that sport and fitness are giving me. Why shouldn't you get that as well? You see what I'm saying? And I think we celebrate our wins. I knew how powerful this was when I started seeing the reactions of people in regards to, I'm Jamaican, right? So you know when Usain Bolt broke the world record?
Yeah.
My house got trashed. My mum, dad, brothers, we went nuts. But when someone's had a stroke and they ain't moved their arm in 6 months and they move it 2 inches, I think that's just an amazing physical accomplishment as Usain Bolt doing that. As any athlete achieving any kind of gold or championship. 2 weeks ago, a lady that I'm training, who's got a really bad illness, man. It's called FND. It's quite undiscovered. There's not loads of research about it. She's not moved the fingers in about 2 months. So when we was training and we got a little bit of movement out of that, it was just the greatest little moment. You understand?
That's the victory.
That was the victory, man. It wasn't about the filming. We didn't even film it, but we just shared this hug because I knew what that meant to her. And even though on the outside it looks like such a micro little movement, to her, that was the world, you understand? And I wanted her to understand how important and how special and how amazing she did to get to that point.
That's not micro, though.
Mm.
That's moving mountains.
Of course it is.
I think that's where it's so interesting and important that no one should be defined by one particular moment
100%.
In life. Because life is made from a series of moments.
Mm-hmm.
And that moment is a victory. To you and to her.
Of course it is. Teamwork. We come from an environment of being athletes. It's a teamwork. So even though you might win a gold medal or somebody may win a gold medal, it's a team effort. The coaches, the staff, the nutritionists, there's a team behind that success. And literally, I'm a cheerleader for happiness. I'm just a big old cheerleader for happiness and trying to give people. Everyone's got that amazing inside of them. Everyone's got that champion inside of them. All I'm doing is, I'm just a person that's kind of just chipping away and opening it up and letting it fly out.
You're the consistent cheerleader.
Yeah. You know when you see a finger midget gigs, what they call? Is it opera? Or like a, is it opera that you see on the BBC prom? And is that the conductor, the dude at the foot?
Yeah.
That's all I am. I'm the dude at the foot doing that and just getting it all out of everybody.
That must be a good feeling though, to have the ability and the gift to conduct that happiness.
Yeah, man.
How do you install that hope in your clients?
I go with my gut, girl.
What does your gut say?
My gut says, look at this now. The easiest way I can explain it is it's togetherness. It's a team. It's a team effort that will build a forever friendship. If me and you now said, in this water, there's sharks, there's crocodiles, there's everything.
I feel scared.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But I said, Amy, jump in there by yourself. You're going to go, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But if I said, Ames, you're my homie, you're my girl, me and you are going to jump in there together. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to make it, but let's try together. Straight away, you're going to go, Jay's with me. We don't know if we're going to make it, but let's try together. And that's how I look at a lot of these exercises. I try and create things that I generally don't know if they're going to work, but I say, let's do it together. So win, lose or draw, either way, we've done it together and we've created something that we can both have ownership of, if that makes sense. Because you got to think the PT, I hate the PT game. I hate gyms, I hate PTs. And obviously, I'm not going to cuss anybody, but egomaniacs, a lot of them, it's about them and their ego. You'll never see me with my top off. You'll never see me flexing with a vest on trying to show. I don't believe in that. I don't believe I'm trying to sell sex. I'm just trying to sell inspiration and empowerment, togetherness, teamwork, the things that keep us together as humans. Do you understand? And I think just being together and attacking a challenge together where we are both so invested. Me as the coach, because I really want to put that smile on your face.
So if I was to walk into your gym... Today, what's different about your space?
Love straight away. I'm not, you know what I believe in? To be a leader, to be groundbreaking, to be inspirational, to empower people, to empower your community, to empower the world, which is what I've always wanted to do. Leave a stamp on this world so that by the time I'm dead and gone, I've left something in this world that could live forever. To do that, you got to learn how to not be the star of the show. Not be the star of the show. I'm big and I'm loud. I'm not the star of the show. So when somebody walks in the gym, I straight away try and set up the environment so that they know the lights, the attention, the love, it's on you. It's not on me. I'm the person in the background just doing my little thing. And, do you know what I mean? But they're the star of the show. And I really believe that. That's why people love it, because I put them on the platform, I put them on the pedestal and I put them in the lights, you know what I mean? Rather than being a typical PT where it's about me, 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 me.
That's such a powerful tool to be able to deflect that energy away from yourself and onto someone else.
Yes, definitely.
But off the back of you doing your thing, you making change, you are gaining attention. We're here in London, your gym's in Manchester, and you've just been recognised by two people. You're making waves.
Yeah. I just turned 40. I'm so glad. I don't entertain this fame celebrity stuff. I don't do it. It's wonderful that people stop and say wonderful things. It's really humbling. But I'm so glad that everything that's happening now is happening at my age.
Yeah.
Because I really know myself. I don't read comments. I don't read comments and I don't indulge in too much stuff. So with everything that's going on, it's just a blessing that people want to take pictures and stop me and talk to me and just give me love. It could be the opposite way where people are stopping wanting to pat you or come throw pies at you. So I'm in a blessed position and I'm grateful for it. And I think gratitude is something that I really try and embody every day and things like that. It's just lovely. It's just nice.
That must inspire you to keep giving. Because 100%. Energy is contagious.
Yep.
But if you are the one constantly expelling and passing energy, how do you regain that energy?
I regain my energy because I'm not going to try to put a downer on anything. This is where, to understand my energy, you kind of understand my life as regards to, we're blessed, James. We're so blessed, man. I train some of the most disabled people in the world. Some disabilities that you've never heard of and some mobility and movement issues that you've never even seen.
Can you shed a little light on what some of those disabilities are?
Of course, yeah. I've got people that can only move their eyes. I've got people that can only move one finger. I've got people with mobility issues. But guess what? They ain't complaining. They say, Jay, what are we doing on Tuesday? Next week, I'm going to do better, Jay. They don't complain. They don't tell me that they can't. I create something and they go at it. So when I'm around people like that, I go, I'm going to attack the world and attack this session with everything that I've got. And God ain't blessed me with a lot. But whatever I've been blessed with, I'm going to give everything to Javino today. How can I not turn up as me and do what I can? So every day, you ain't going to see me in a mood. I'm like everybody else, and I do go in moods, and I've got things going on. But you ain't never going to see that. And they ain't never going to see that because there's no comparison. My bad day is a dream or a blessing to them. Look at us, we're walking. I can turn my neck. If my lace comes undone, I can bend down. I can bend down, Amy. Do you understand? If a fly hits me in the head or something drops, there's loads of birds there, bird poo on my head. I can turn. A lot of things like that have a blessing that not everybody has. So every single day, I'm just reminded that even on my worst day, I'm winning, girl. I'm winning because if you feel sorry for yourself or you have them down days, guess what? Somebody will come in today that will make me go short, Jay, because you're so blessed compared to somebody else.
We are so lucky.
Lucky. Huh?
Even today, you know, like you could wake up and I'd say this is a fairly standard, grey, cold winter's day in London. People struggle.
Yeah, of course. Everyone struggles. Pain is a part of human struggle. Not feeling good enough is a part of human struggle as well. And I think that's okay. And just people just need to learn how to fight. And I think whether you're an athlete, whether you're a civilian, whether you're an amputee, whether you're a wheelchair user, whether you're cerebral palsy, dementia, Alzheimer's, Down syndrome. I just want people to know, show people how to fight. Whatever you've got inside you, fight. Because we all go, despite your age, ability, or skill level, we all go through the same stuff.
How do you share that desire to fight?
I share it by letting that person know. I've been doing this for 23 years. I've never charged a penny. A lot of people don't know this. I've done it for free for 23 years. I don't get paid for what I do. You understand?
That's incredibly selfless.
People don't know this, and the reason why I started saying it is because every now and then, people will screenshot things and send it to me where somebody's saying, yeah, but he's getting paid. I've trained disabled people and disadvantaged people free of charge for 23 years because I want to. In order for this to work, I have to keep my heart as pure as possible. I'm not helping you for financial gain. I'm not helping you for likes or shares. I've done it for 23 years. My brother had to beg me to go on social media way before I started filming. I did this for so long without filming because my only intention is, can I give this person with this disability such a magical experience that we're going to be friends forever? That the love that we can create together will filter through to your family, and your family and my family, your friends and my friends can, it's like a synergy of love and care. Can I do that? Can I make exercise that powerful where I don't just give you some strength and a look of bicep? Can I give you the confidence to go, yo, I'm going to go out there and tap the world. I don't care if I'm in my wheelchair. I don't care if I've got Down syndrome, cerebral palsy. I don't care if I've got cancer and I'm bloody terminal, like a lot of my guys are. But can I give you the confidence to go, all right, there's impossible. Impossible's right over there looking me in the face. I'm going to go and attack it. I'm still going to try and go, still going to go and give it a go. It's more than exercise, you understand? It's more than just somebody in the gym trying to build a little muscle, a little bicep, a little six pack, a little booty. It's more than the aesthetics.
It's so, so vitally important to hear you say those words.
Really?
Attack the impossible. Because so many people in life, including myself, wake up and there may be a negative connotation and something that seems impossible, but we're gifted in the ability that today's not impossible.
Yeah, today's doable.
Has there ever been a moment where you've struggled
every day?
The motivation?
No.
To keep chasing that impossible?
No.
Why not?
Because I know there's always a way. My thing is, and one thing, I've got a lot of notebooks. I'm a bit of a geek when it comes to notebooks and that and things. And
everyone, what colours your notebook?
The pure different colours. Of course they are.
And they're odd.
Yes. But anywhere I go, I collect notebooks. But every one of my notebooks I've always got at the front of it, find a way.
Find a way.
Find a way. It doesn't mean that I might plan a certain drill. Finding a way doesn't mean that I'm always going to do the drill.
Yeah.
Finding a way means just find a way to overcome and get something from that drill. I might plan a drill that person fails to do, but guess what? Even in failure, if you fail, I'm going to get something from this drill that's going to put a smile on your face to make you go, you know what, Jay, I'll be back next Wednesday and we're going to do it again. Find a way. I never lose that motivation because I know people want it. You know what I mean? I build friendships with people that I'm a bit of a weirdo. I'm not going to lie. Like, look at this now.
Yeah.
If me and you was in the gym, Amy, and me and you become really good friends, like I hope we will do, and then you express to me how much you really want to lose weight or gain strength or whatever your goal is as a person. Once I've got love for you and you express that to me, there's no way I'm going to turn me back on that. I'm invested. I'll argue with you. If it means that me and you argue every day, I'm down for that because I know how much you want whatever you told me your goal is.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to risk our friendship and argue just to make sure that you get it.
That is so strong.
Does that make sense?
Are you not fearful of that sometimes?
No.
You're not fearful of pushing people?
No, one bit. Because guess what? If you take it personal and then me and you don't stay friends, we was never truly friends. Because real friendship, we're going to go to the depths of so many different things. If we have to argue, I'm cool with it. If we have to cry, I'm cool with it. If we have to disagree, negotiate certain things, I'm cool with it. Because at the end of it, I know that if we get through it, the carrot that's dangled is going to be so amazing. And you're going to get the goal that you want, is the plan, the strategy, whatever you want and desire. If we get it, we're going to celebrate, man.
What does friendship mean to you?
It means seeing somebody for who they are, allowing somebody to be who they truly are. It means never judging somebody and noticing if somebody may need a little extra. And what I mean by a little extra is we all need a look, a hug sometimes. We all need a little kick up the bum. We all need a stern talking to. It's not all positive rainbows and smiles. So yes, a lot of the extra that I might give somebody is a hug, a cuddle, a kiss, and like the loving stuff. But also the extra might be, you've been a bit lazy.
Yeah.
Don't think that because you're in this wheelchair, it means that's going to define you, or that means that you can whinge or moan. No. You need to start doing a bit more. So I think giving that extra as a friend is so important. It's not just about the positive stuff.
I think that's so, so true. Mm. I think real friends are the only ones that can really tell the
story. Of course.
Do you build friendships with your clients?
Oh, of course, man. I can't do what I do without building friendships. Like, you got to think, if somebody is in a wheelchair and they've never been taken out of their wheelchair, big old me can't just come over and take somebody out of the wheelchair and throw them on the floor and say, pretend to be an animal or do the silly things that I do in order to get to that phase, that stage. Professionally, you have to build a really strong friendship so that person trusts you, because it's a quite intrusive thing. It's quite a personal thing to pick somebody up like I do, or get them in the positions that I do. So I'm not stupid. I'm very professional at what I do. Behind all the jokes and the silliness,
yeah,
I know for a fact I'm not going to physically touch or maneuver somebody in the ways that I do without firstly establishing the most rock solid
foundation
of friendships. You know what I mean?
It's crazy because with what you do, the first thing that comes to mind isn't the word trust, but actually a huge part of what trust. You do and the progression you've had and the success stories are purely based around
trust. It's the most important thing. It is the most important thing, especially what I do. These are people that are vulnerable, that may have felt that life, society, has kind of just kicked them to the curb. They have to trust me, man, or it doesn't work.
What's been your biggest compliment throughout all of your success stories? Because there's lots of stuff, as you said, on social media being bandied around about the positive change you're making, but what's touched you?
What's touched me the most is, I just think it's amazing being liked for. I'm naked with it, man. Like I said, I can only be me. I've only got one gear. I'm 100% Gervinho all day, every day. When people like or embrace what I'm doing, without being corny, that's their way of saying that they like me. So just to be liked as a person is nice, is really nice, just for being myself. But what I try and do every day is teach people just to be themselves as well. And then when people just start saying, I've gone back to the cinema, like a lot of people become reclusive with that. Disabilities can be quite crippling. I've seen it, I've seen disabilities that crush people, that allow young girls to stay at home, not live, not do things, not go anywhere, not experience life. So when I get, not necessarily about me, but when I get clients, I've had a young girl recently who not been to the cinema in 10 years because she's, I don't know, maybe embarrassment, maybe of other reasons. She's not got the confidence, and she went to see the Barbie movie a couple of months ago. You know, the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
That to me is amazing. I've got young lads that are now baking, that are singing. I've got young girls now who are now started dating. I'm not happy about the dating stuff, but...
You are, though.
I am.
Because that shines confidence.
I am. Of course
right?
It is. I'm really happy about it. But a lot of things like that are just
normal. Hope they're decent people that
dating,
right?
If they're not, I'll chase them. I'll get them. I'll find them.
You heard it right here.
Yeah, that to me is the biggest compliment, when my guys start living life happily. And as humans, like they should be, experiencing the things that we get to experience. I think that's the most important thing, James.
Now, let's talk about you, because we've spoken a lot about you supporting everyone else in your life and being that driver. When it comes to your own routine and looking after your own mental and physical well-being, how and where do you find the time to instill that care for yourself?
I'm a weirdo. And this is... from a professional, an exercise
You've
professional.
You've said you're a weirdo three times.
Really, I'm so bad. As a professional, I always say to people, don't do what I do. It's not good. You know, as an athlete, you're supposed to have rest days. So I train for my mental. I train every day for 2 hours, even before coming here today. I train for 2 hours.
2 hours?
Every day. And I know it's not advisable. It's not good. It's not clever. It's not good for the body. But I need to do that, because that's the way I kind of reset my mind and my energy and everything about me. It's more psychological for me. It's not about the aesthetics. If it was about the aesthetics, I'd be in my little shorts and tank top every day showing the world.
Maybe we should do it in tank top and shorts next time. Odd colours, yeah?
Yeah. Colours. But I think that's how I look after myself. And you know what? Good wife, good kids. I love nature, I love animals. Recently bought a snake.
No.
Got
way.
A python called Coco. Got a python.
Does Coco help you with your own mental well-being?
Well, not yet. I've just only been here for about a month, but I've got things in my life that I really enjoy, like the nature. We love going. I'm a wellies guy at the weekend. I got my wellies on.
No way.
I'm a scruff, Amy. I'm a scruff. At the weekend, wellies, my wife hates it. Wellies, big coats, just out in the woods, in the forest, and little things like that really help. I don't really get a lot of time off. You know what I mean? I work Monday to Sunday every single week. Once every 4 weeks, I'll take a Sunday off.
Do you live for your job?
Yes, and I've always been like that. But to be honest, James, people need me, man. And I don't ever want to not be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I hate, even when I went away for my birthday recently, that's the longest I've been away from the gym. And even though it was an amazing time with the family, because it's not just like able-bodied people can go to the gym. I know there's so much more invested in my relationships with my clients and my peoples. So going away, I don't ever want to let anybody feel like I'm not there. Do you know what I mean?
Do you feel guilty when you leave?
Yeah, all the time.
Do you think that maybe isn't a positive, though, for
you? No, not at all, not at all.
With your own mental well-being? Like, how do you juggle that guilt?
I can't. I've got guilt that suffocates me daily, man. There's so much guilt in my body, and I don't know the answer to fixing it.
So today's a good example. You're not there, you're here.
Yeah.
How do you juggle that? Who steps in?
This is okay, because I'm only here for the day. I've got a staff member called James Badger. He's amazing. Today, because I'm here today, all I've done is rearrange my guys for other days. So me not being here for one day is okay, because the guys that were due in today, I put them in for tomorrow, the day after.
Yeah.
And I did some yesterday, so it's all good. It's the times when I go for maybe a week, that's when the guilt kind of kicks in. Do you know what I mean? But even now at the point where you get people from all over the world that come to my little gym in Manchester.
Can you believe that?
It's amazing. It's like people that come from Australia just to come and say hi. Obviously, they've come to England. It was 2 weeks ago, somebody, an Australian family, came to London, but they said, we need to go J7. They got on a train from London to Manchester to find J7 just to come and say hello. It's absolutely amazing. It's so humbling. It shows you how powerful it is, isn't it? It kind of shows you that I think the world actually really needs it, Amy. The fact that things like that happen every month, it makes you think I'm doing something really good. I'm proud of myself. And I feel like it's only just getting started.
If I was to give you the ability to expand and grow further, where would you take it? Because you are the man for the job.
Yeah.
What's next? How do we make global change?
This is it's a tricky question. Originally, the plan was to maybe franchise and things like that. But like I said to a few people as well, I don't know how to teach what I've got. It's very hard. And like from a sporting world, you might have a coach who was an ex-athlete who could teach you certain things. Some of the best coaches have never played sport or never, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with me, I don't know how to teach what I've got. If I was to expand, if somebody came in now and said, we want to make J7s all over England and all over the world, I would make sure that the recruiting process is me. The recruiting process isn't based on how big your biceps are or how much you can deadlift or bench press. The recruiting process is, can you make somebody feel human? Can you make somebody feel comfortable in their own skin? Can you give somebody the confidence to dig themselves out of the worst hole possible? Whether it's a disability hold, whether it's a terminal illness hold, whether it's just an image hold, that's the recruiting process.
How can I give someone the confidence to dig themselves out of that hole?
Just make them feel seen, make them feel human. That's all people want, especially in a place like London and Manchester. Everyone's in the whole world just cracking on. There's people out here that just require some attention. So we're small. This is why any opportunity. I'm a spud, people. Spud, hello. I high five people. I'm going to give you a hug, because who knows, that little high five, that little fist pump could be enough to make somebody go, you know what? I'm going to go seize today. I'm going to go out and do something really good for myself, for somebody else. And it kind of just energy, good vibes, good people, pure-hearted attention. I genuinely believe that it gets multiplied and passed on.
You've made me smile.
Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you.
You really have. It's an interesting one here, though, being and living in London, because you get on the tube, and in fact, just yesterday I was looking, see that red double-decker bus? It was full to the brim. Nobody speaking, looking, or conversing, just on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think it's as simple as installing little changes in our days to make other people around us feel seen?
Yeah, I think it's about habits. I think it's about looking deep enough. And what I mean by that is, I look deep at people, man, and I don't mean that in a weird, silly way. I mean, if you really look at somebody, you know what's going on. You can tell, you can see pain in someone's eyes, Amy. You can see pain in someone's body language.
It hurts seeing that.
Of course, I know. Like, you've probably been around people in your life that just by the look, just by the body language, if you're looking at somebody properly that you really know, you know there's something wrong. So I'm going to address it. I'm not going to ignore it. Too many people ignore signs. And I swear to God, I've seen it. There's people out there that I've looked at somebody and they know something's not right. And they'll say 2 hours later, oh, you remember Amy? Something was up with Amy today. Did you notice it? Did you? Yeah. Well, why did nobody address it?
So how would you encourage someone to address that pain? Because I think so often in society, we as the people on the other side of the barrier of pain don't know how to address making that change.
It's a tricky one, and it boils down to your personality. My personality, like I said, I'm fearless, man.
You're fearless if I push you in.
I can't swim. But yeah, I'm absolutely fearless with my personality. He shit me up.
Fearless not with the cold water and swimming. That's what I'm going to teach you, how to swim, clearly.
Oh, 100%. I couldn't make it from there to that boat.
But
no chance.
What I've learned is that if we do it together.
Yes. If we do it together, I'll be on your back.
There is hope.
I'm going to jump on your back.
That's me giving you hope, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Hope and possibility.
110%.
Right, but back to where we were.
Yeah.
How can we encourage those that see pain in their friends, in their family, in their loved ones, or maybe even somebody they've met or seen on the street? How do we instill people to open up and have that conversation?
If you're a person that it's not in your personality trait to be like that way, I'm not going to force you to be that person, but I think if you are a person that cares and loves somebody and you've got a relationship with somebody that you actually really care for, you've got to smash out of that cage that may be holding you back. Why are you not saying anything? And like I said, I think it's just about being naturally who you are. If you're naturally a quiet, shy person and you've not got it in you, I get that. But surely the love and care for that person should erase that and let you like address, do it in your way. You don't have to be loud with it.
Yeah.
It could be a text message. It could be just a little, no, just saying, you're all right, you're good.
Yeah.
Find a way. Like I said before, find a way that's specific to you and your personality. My way, because I'm big and I'm loud, is, yo, what's good? What's going on? Come here, we're going to have a talk. But your way could be a nudge. It could be a text message. It could be a quiet word when everyone's gone. You see what I'm saying? I just think finding a way that's specific to you.
Gerino, we are on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. So we like to ask all of our guests what their relationship is like with Monday. Do you like Monday?
I love Monday. Monday is the day, baby. I don't understand who are those people that don't like Mondays. I love Mondays. Do you love Mondays?
I like a Monday.
Mondays are wicked. Honest to God, on a Sunday, I do my ironing. I love ironing.
Do you?
I don't know if I can join you on that vibe. I love ironing.
I'm more of a hooverer.
Oh, really?
I like a hoover, yeah.
My wife loves a hoovering. But yeah. I love a Sunday ironing. Monday, to me, I got to start the day just with energy, with love, because if Monday doesn't go good, I feel like the rest of the week won't go good. So Monday, to me, is an important thing. I think it sets the tone for the week.
Oh, without a doubt. Mm. Now, so many people listening to this podcast will not have that same relationship with Monday. They see Sunday night, the Monday dread, and they're thinking, Monday is survival.
Mm-hmm.
It's the start of the week. We've got to get through a whole week. People live for the weekend.
I get you.
So what would you say to someone with that dread?
That's a question that I've actually addressed quite a few times. I genuinely believe you have to start Monday with something that you love.
I like that.
If you start Monday with anything else is irrelevant. A couple months ago, one of my friends at the gym plays guitar, loves guitar, and he's in a band and he goes away and he plays and he's pretty big and does gigging and stuff. Hates Mondays. So I said, what do you do? Oh, I've got to get up and I've got to go to work. So I said, how about this? You get up at 5 or 6 before you go to work, get in your garden and get your buggy on, get your jam on, get your guitar out and start the day with something that you love. I started with working out because that's what I love. But if your love is music, get your instrument. If your love is painting, get your paint on. If your love is dancing, get your dance on. Start the day.
What's your dance like?
Me? Don't let me dance, Amy.
No?
Then start your day with something that you love.
And I love that.
The rest of the day should be all right.
I think that is probably one of the best pieces of advice.
Brilliant.
And so simple that we've ever had on this podcast.
110%.
Start your Monday, start the week with something you love.
Mm-hmm.
What shall I start my Monday with?
Go on. What do you love?
I love yoga.
Get your bend on then, Ames. Get your namaste on.
And I love good fuel. A good brekkie.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, something to be
excited about. Your favourite breakfast?
Mine would be like banana pancakes with like nut butter, berries, all of the toppings. Executive.
Really?
I love healthy pancakes.
Really?
Got my oats in there, eggs. Blend it up. Yeah, I mean, that's if we've got time.
I love a breakfast, but I'm not a pancakey kind of.
No, that's like a treat.
You know what
I mean, we're not having that every day. That's just for Mondays, that's right?
For
we're
Mondays.
Talking about Monday being a special day.
Yeah.
So we're going to make the time to make the pancakes.
You get your pancake on, girl.
I will.
I love a morning bagel.
Oh, yeah, a little bagel. Love that.
Love a bagel.
And lastly, Jovino, do you have a life motto or quote that you live by that we can leave for our listeners to help inspire them this week?
110% every single day of my life, I say to myself and my little boys, every day is a day for opportunity. But if you are 100% yourself every single day, you can't fail. Just be yourself.
So just be you.
Be yourself, because it's impossible to fail if you are 100% unapologetically yourself. Make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. But you said be yourself. Where's the odd socks and odd coloured?
Because it was cold. It was freezing this morning when I left. I couldn't get on that train with my toes out. I had to put some trackies on.
Monday Mile listeners, it is a wrap. I hope you enjoyed that one.
I loved
McLean.
It. That was amazing.
It's an absolute honour to have you here in the Big Smoke.
Big Smoke.
Walking and talking. You have, without a doubt, made such significant change.
Thank you.
And touched so many people's lives.
Thank you.
Your story is truly, truly inspirational.
Thank you, girl.
Morning, my listeners. You know what to do. The audio drops at 12 a.m. every single Monday morning. So if you are not yet, make sure you are subscribed and tune in every single Monday. Were you going to say tuna?
No, tune in. Not tuna, you sausage.
It is our wrap. Have an absolutely
fabulous Monday morning.
Hey.